The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. HB Cobra says, tonight, it's time to roll back the state. I wish, bro, I wish. I'm not as enthusiastic as you. I am black pill tonight because, I mean, this whole Tucker, Nick Fuentes interaction showed us that the people who are in charge of gatekeeping, they take their job very seriously, and Tucker has been doing it since he's a young adult. Literally, he's been brought up as a CIA intervention type of guy in the media. And he's just gonna lie. This is what's so depressing about his whole interaction with Nick Fuentes, is these people are just there to project an image of naivete and, oh, I'm just a guy asking questions and I'm just interested in the truth. But no, when it matters, when it comes down to what they actually are doing with the public space, they will just lie. And Tucker was caught in a very brazen lie, saying that he didn't know his father was in the CIA. When there are pictures of him literally just overtaking regimes in Nicaragua. It's like, what did you think was happening then? What did you think your father was doing when you were with a gun, with a revolutionary, and with your father, and when you were playing onto the local regimes and trying to subvert them and push other regimes instead? Like, even if it doesn't have the label CIA, it should light up something in your head that you are part of the history of American interventions in other countries, that this was the job of your father and his whole project. It wasn't just that his father was a low-level executioner in all this. His father was a mind behind the idea of applying the Monroe Doctrine, applying the idea that America controls everything in South America. So you were part of, when we say, oh, it was bad. It was bad, the interventionism of America. It was bad, the intelligence agency meddling in other countries' democracy. It was bad, American interventionism in the Middle East. He was part of it. He was a major part of it. And he's always been there for this, and he's always been the media front of his father. And we have old videos of him where he's doing the same thing, gatekeeping Pat Buchanan. I mean, Pat Buchanan, back decades ago. More than a decade ago. And this has to blackpill you because it means the regime and the Jewish-funded layers of subversion of culture, they don't even end at Tucker Carlson. They include Tucker Carlson. And I would have thought, I mean, the way he was going on his own, you could have thought that maybe he was starting his own thing and that he would pursue an individual path. But no, he's still funded by Jewish billionaires. He's still funded by indirect Thiel funding. Thiel makes the money bounce on some unknown association, then dumps it to Tucker. It's like There's no way out of this. They have infinite amount of money. They have censorship on their side. They will silence you. They will ruin your reputation until they are the last one standing. We are faced with a cartel of information that includes the entirety of everyone who hasn't been banned by YouTube, basically. That 99% of the consumerist information out there is with the intent of deceiving. And with the intent specifically of nudging you away from the important questions of our time, which is, do Jews have too much power in American politics? And does race matter? And to what extent should white people consider that it matters to them? Absolutely shameful. Sunk to the Nuts says, I've become utterly disappointed with Tucker over the last year and this recent charade lying to all of us about his dad's involvement with the CIA put the final nail in the coffin for me. Done. It's so sad because he could have argued still that he was credibly pursuing the truth. But after this one, it's really hard. And it's what I've been finding, interacting with people like Brett Weinstein, you know, seeing that even at the end, as I'm like, okay, I will grant this, I will grant that, I will grant that. But you plagiarize this, guy, right? And silence. And it's like, well, they're never going to admit wrongs. They're never going to admit their own lies. And they are only interested at taking. They take. And that's how they build their power as an institution. That's how they gain control of everything. And with no shame, with no, hey, maybe it would be good to leave some diversity here or there. No, they take everything. They don't give an inch, even when they're wrong, even when they're lying to our face. So sad. Blimpy Supervisor says, Tucker was always a bitch from back in the days when he was wearing his bow tie, getting creamed by what's-his-name, Jew. I don't know who that is, but we'll see an old video. Enfrahaz sends a super chat. He says, I am safe. I love and approve of myself. I trust life. Good attitude to have despite the dark times in which we live. Excellent attitude. Sydney Sweeney, the Nazi queen, is getting carried and heckled by people calling her racist.
About the ad that is being racist.
She's carried as a precious 1930s weird dressing queen. Look at this. That seems like she is dressed for her performance during Americana. Is that the movie where she would be in love with a black guy? I don't know. Maybe it's the premiere of this movie. Need for Life says, sad to see Owen Benjamin counter-signaling Nick Fuentes. What do you think of Owen, JF? Owen is deluded. He's just a very deluded guy. So it's like, okay, maybe he got it right in understanding that withdrawal from society is good for you and your family. But a broken clock is right twice a day. And that's his broken clock moment. Other than this, Owen Benjamin is deluded when it comes to science, when it comes to just the planet being round, for example. I mean, it's so basic that we are talking about a highly deluded mind here, and it's always gonna be like this. These people, they pose as revolutionaries or independent or rejected by the system, but they never quite are as much as the people they then try to dunk on. Think of an AIU, for example. Atheism is unstoppable. A Jewish-philic man who admires Jews, who engages in gay relationships, he gets banned from YouTube. You could have thought that he was one of us in a way, with his little jokes about blacks and whites. But it's always at the joke level. When you dig down into AIU and you're like, okay, whites are like this, blacks are like this, haha, good joke. Now let's talk about reality. And they're not there for the discussion of reality. They are always fleeting and just in a very gay way. That's why I'm not surprised to learn that AIU is sucking dicks. Because it's very gay the way he flees from the actual conversation. It's very gay the way he makes jokes about it, gets banned, and then dunks on others like me on the basis of absolute falsehoods. The same way Tucker dunks on Nick Fuentes on the basis of falsehoods and strawmen. And I wouldn't mind that he calls Nick a child in a basement or whatever, a gay kid in a basement. I wouldn't mind if he was then engaging in actual engagement with the points of Nick, which is, hey, there is a Jewish mafia operating in the US, and as long as it's operating, it breaks everything politically. It breaks the left, the right. The system isn't even performing what it should, which is represent the desire of the people. As long as we have this Jewish mafia, which uses mafia tactics like intimidation, hit pieces, defamation, who knows? Who knows where they're ready to go? who knows? We kind of know with JFK. We kind of know where they're willing to go. So that's a danger for America. It's a liability. We don't see Tucker engage on that point. We see him, just like AIU, surface engagement. Surface engagement with, maybe Israel sometimes is demanding a little too much. Maybe there are some times in the future, hypothetically, maybe it's possible that Israel wouldn't be aligned with the interest of the US. And that day, I'm all for rejecting help to Israel. But as long as it's in the interest of the US, then I called Israel and I said, hey, I'm your friend. This is so incomplete. And incompleteness is quite the devil these days. It's one of the devils of modernity. Incompleteness. People wanting you to think that they engaged on a point. Oh, so it's all set. It's all settled now. Tucker had martyr made on his show. Well, then what? Then what? We never get to actual discussions of the truth. And never get to the present situation of the US. And we certainly never get to a mainstream challenge to Jewish power in America. Sarah Stuck reports that she is now married. I'm happy about this one, because this was a free energy, free sexual energy, roaming around. I don't like it in the universe. So it's good that she has been parked and stored for the disposal by one male. Sneed for Life says, JFG, do you think Owen Benjamin is good for being very tall? Blonde in the belly of the beast finds height is very important. I don't care about height, so I don't care. Story behind the story. A viral video shows three thieving children stopped by the Walmart door before they could exit.
You got like 10 seconds to open up this door.
I swear to God, I'm gonna break this up. I'm
10. Open this fucking door. I'll call my mom. Call my mom. Bitch, I been to out of town, ho.
This guy already has the attitude of a gay black man. you see that he's learning a lot from taking a lot of cues from a female in his life, because he's acting a bitch. Don't you do that, bitch? I'm gonna call my mom, bitch. And it's bizarre, the mix of blackmail violence with such an effeminate gay behavior. But the fact that this is present in such a young kid, that shows you how the black family is messed up. I mean, there they are. Can you imagine that this is special, what we're seeing? I'm going to call my mom. Bitch, open the door. I'm going to call my mom. They are not mature enough to understand that your mom doesn't matter. Like, your mom is a threat only to you. And visibly, she is not a threat to you. Visibly, you can do pretty much anything you want. But your mom isn't a threat to the Walmart employee. I'm going to call my mom. I mean, can you imagine the 400-pound woman coming at Walmart? Boom, boom, boom.
Show phone out there. Okay. Yeah, do that.
You can open the door.
And you can see their instinct is, well, we're going to try destroying the most things we can, but they're very inefficient at destroying. They don't have the maturity and finesse of a 600-pound, 40-year-old black woman capable of making millions of damage in a convenience store within a minute. So they're just pushing the sign down. Oh, you have so much to learn, my friend. So much to learn, kids.
I'm gonna open up the door because I'm not.
All my fucking doors, y'all gotta open it.
I'm not playing.
You know how to count. You have hands. Open the door.
I'll open up this door before we break this bitch.
Break it. Go ahead.
I'm gonna break some up in this bitch. I'm God. I'm gonna. You guys must be dumb. I will light that fire with y'all. Do not play with me.
You do can not light that, but you can't open the door.
Do not play with me.
You are in a Minecraft nightgown, and you're saying, "Do not play with me." You don't even have shoes. You're on sandals.
I will trash this hole.
I'm cold. All right.
I will trash this hole.
Sorry.
Well. I mean, we have to stop being too kind to criminal children, because we're gonna let it happen, and it's really they will need to be punished. So punish them now. Bo Roop says, "My sister lives in a poorer black neighborhood, and it's an absolute nightmare to navigate. Kids out till 12, till midnight on school nights, knocking over garbage cans, destroying everything." Oh yeah, that's why you just can't live in these areas. You can't have your lawnmower on your land. They're gonna steal the lawnmower. It's gonna disappear. So anything that's out of the home, it's gonna disappear at some point. If it's not locked in some specific way, and you'll never get a calm night. You simply cannot live with them. Exposing Tucker Carlson. That was a very, very good performance by Nick Fuentes. Was it this Saturday or Friday? I don't know exactly. Excellent performance, where we saw a show where Nick Fuentes goes all in on Tucker. Some of the things that shock and that I remember is how, well, Tucker first clearly lied. When Tucker says, "I learned that my," and it's a complex lie, you know, "I learned that my dad was CIA when he died." Well, no, we have video of Tucker before the death of his father, where he was saying, "My dad was CIA." So we already have video. Not only was it public, it was in the mouth of Tucker already. And it's all over Wikipedia. It's all very known. And we have Tucker for years describing what his dad was doing, which is all American interventionism through psyops, through destabilizing democracies across the world, taking sides on this little gang instead of this little gang. So you have been subverting democracy, Tucker, and you have been maybe the media less harmful arm of your father, but you are very well within the continuity here. Nick Fuentes makes a beautiful case that Joe Kent also was CIA. When Trump appointed Joe Kent later, he just said it on Truth Social. He was a CIA officer. It would look like Trump kind of let it out in a way that they didn't expect. Perhaps they wanted to keep it a secret that Joe Kent was a CIA officer, but he was. And Nick tells the story of his betrayal by Joe Kent. So apparently Joe Kent at the beginning was, he wanted to kind of recruit Nick and his base, and they wanted it to remain relatively secret. But the only condition that Nick had was, do not publicly disavow me. That's very easy, by the way. You know, in 2016, Trump won by refusing to disavow David Duke. It's as easy as this. The journalist says, hey, Trump, do you disavow David Duke? He just endorsed you. Trump replied, I don't know who that is. I'm not going to disavow someone I don't know who they are. And so it's as easy as this. That was all. And it's fair to Nick, because if you keep giving and giving without asking for some degree of respect, well, imagine Nick would give his base, his money, his time to the victory of a man who ends up smearing him continuously on the public space. So makes total sense as a request. Eventually, Joe Kent is the one who has stepped back over his words and disavowed Nick Fuentes because some pressure from some leftists came in. And that's not how we win. We don't win by playing the game of disavowing of the left. I think that some people are bound to find that out, to learn that out correctly. And American Eagle, in a way, they kind of got it. They went into a marketing campaign that they knew they would be asked to apologize, and they had set not to apologize from the start. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about seeing the equivalent happens to politics, because marketing has understood this now with Sydney Sweeney, American Eagle jeans. Can we have politicians starting to understand this, that yes, you can win by being divisive? You don't have to win by taking the votes of the left. So certainly you're going to win by the votes of the right. And the votes of the right, the crowds are sympathetic to people like Nick Fuentes. Rodita Sid says, yes, now Tucker says how he hates the CIA so much, but because the people now mistrust the CIA and they have no credibility, so Tucker is on the bandwagon. That's what's so black-pitting about all this, is that we don't even have a human here. Tucker is not being human. When you see him inviting Curtis Yarvin, you realize, and down to gatekeeping Nick, lying about his own past, talking against interventionism when in fact he's not a credible voice of anti-interventionism, nor is J.D. Vance. When you see this whole thing, from inviting Curtis Yarvin on his show to denying the same invitation to Nick Fuentes to supporting J.D. Vance and making the case that, oh yeah, J.D. Vance is one of the true non-interventionists. That all sides with the lie that Peter Thiel, Palantir gain at pushing. This false idea that J.D. Vance is a credible anti-neocon. And I'm very scared when I see the vehemence with which Tucker is going into this lie, because it means he's in on it. And in a way, you can measure Tucker and measure him as a beacon of the future. Tucker is showing us what the game is about down the line. Down the line, the game is about having J.D. Vance into power, through non-interventionist gatekeeping and controlling of the vote, and then most likely for the purpose of a lie, that is for the purpose of actual intervention. That is, J.D. Vance is the Trojan horse for a bunch of people who have understood that warmongering isn't a winning position in 2025, but at the same time, we need a figure that has, therefore, fake credibility in against warmongering. And that's when they started making these phone leaks. And these phone leaks, what was the common point of all the phone leaks? It was, J.D. Vance in private is fighting against the wars. And there was no random there. Those were organized phone leaks. So we have an intelligence community that is parallel, that is the Palantir and Thiel guys. They're trying to get power in the government. They're getting some of it with Trump because they just got a $10 billion mega contract. They're trying to organize a transition from Trump to J.D. Vance. They would have been absolutely rewarded if Trump had received that bullet in the cranium rather than in the ear. And on top of it, Nick Fuentes informs us that that Tucker has invited more than 40 times J.D. Vance on his show. So this is all very clear what's happening. This is all about 2028. And it's about the future of American intelligence. Extremely worrying because they're already ready to lie about it now. Imagine down the line. Imagine when it gets dirty. And ultimately what we have is Trump is being tolerated by these people. Trump is being tolerated for 4 more years because they think that it puts them in a position to get J.D. Vance elected down the line. Tucker Carlson assassination of Pat Buchanan in 1999 was extremely similar to what he's doing today to Nick Fuentes. 1999. This was a long time ago.
I mean, this is part of the sad thing about Pat Buchanan, as far as I'm concerned.
Sad thing is, and I know that no one who watches him will believe me,
Pat does raise issues that I think are important.
Doesn't mean everything he says is false. It doesn't mean he's not talented. He's enormously talented. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. I'm not attacking him personally.
I mean, I think that, you know, the sovereignty of the American military, et cetera. I mean, these are not just crank issues.
It's young white men who've been totally cut out of our economy, attacked mercilessly. I mean, they really are the victims, and they're desperate, and no one speaks for them. So they go to Fuentes because he's, like, incredibly articulate, and they think he's our leader.
But unfortunately, Pat Buchanan raises them in a way that I think is discredited.
But he is clearly part of a campaign to discredit non-crazy.
We see the mess of the brain. It's amazing. It's amazing the power of what we just saw here. The words. The way Tucker jumps from compliment to discredit. It's all the same pattern. From the neural network perspective, it's the same neural network that's being activated here. Tucker literally has a neural network stored. We all do for all of the actions we're used to do. Because all of the actions that we do robotically get stored somewhere in the motor cortex, and we're used to it, and we can just unpack them on demand, like biking. Once you've learned how to do some bicycle, you know how to bike, and it's just automatic. But see, Tucker, of course, as a young adult, has been groomed and trained to be delivering gatekeeping talking points. And from 1999 to 25, it's unbelievable to think that for 26 years, this brain circuit was there, ready to be activated. And whenever Tucker recognizes the pattern, gets activated, and he knows exactly what to do. Just like you know how to put your feet on a pedal, on the pedals of your bike, Tucker is like compliment, then questioning of credibility, then compliment over the talent and the importance of the points raised.
The right voices.
Pat Buchanan is part of the reason it's so hard to have that conversation, because he discredits it by his presence.
And there you go. You have Pat Buchanan is the Nick Fuentes of his generation. He is discrediting the point, and so we can't engage with the point. It's too bad, because he's discrediting it with his behavior. It's such bad behavior and such bad reputation. Why does he do this? I would love to talk about these points, but I can't. And so we never get to engage on the issues.
It's a campaign to destroy credible voices on the right. And Fuentes is part of it.
And that he believes in conspiracies, and that he believes that the Jews are this sinister, secretly organized force trying to affect American politics. And those aren't discussions I think normal people, sober people, should be having.
Anyway, like, who is this kid?
Should be having. But at some point, the facts are enough that they must have it. At some point, there is such degree of Jewish control over the progression of things in America that we have to have this discussion. It's not a matter of should we have it. We should have any discussion that is based in truth and based in legitimate political and moral questions. The question of whether a group has accumulated too much knowledge, too much power for our good, is an absolutely legitimate political issue.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just an accident that the guy exclusively goes after people who are in the same, roughly the same. And then he gets up there and he's like, you know, making Holocaust jokes.
Well, that is extremely intemporal, the what Tucker says here. There is an Holocaust joke. The last one, I've dated it to 5 years ago with Milo. It's been solicited by a Jew. And so Nick Fuentes, being of good humor, entertained the request of the Jew that was with him in the room to go on with an Holocaust joke. And so that to say he does this and then he does Holocaust jokes, the then here is intemporal. You are digging 5 years ago to find it. And so what? What if he had done an Holocaust joke this year? What does it matter? The point is still there. You still have to engage with the points. You are the one deciding not to engage with the point, Tucker.
When attacked, he can always fall back on the line, well, the tiny cabal that controls American politics doesn't like me because I speak truth to power. This is actually, incidentally, almost verbatim what he said the other day, that I offend the plutocracy.
Well, visibly across the years, what we have seen is that people who question Jewish power have, for some reason, for some unexplained reason, they have Jewish outlets writing hit pieces about them to the point of ridicule, to the point where the Daily Beast and the Newsweek are interested in my sex life. I mean, unbelievable. I'm just a geek on the internet. But they think that my sex life is public interest. So very clearly, there is a network of Jews that are funding these hit pieces. They don't like what we have to say, and they feel a need to discredit us. And you, by participating with the idea of discredit and the idea of guilt by association, you yourself are participating to this Jewish network, Tucker.
That I'm a wanted man by the inside the Beltway people, and in every sense cast himself as a victim who is sort of a Karen Silkwood of politics, someone who's so truthful that he's being hunted down by the conspiracy.
Well, don't just laugh and say it. Debunk it. Show that Pat Buchanan has been given major exposure, positive exposure of his ideas in the press. No, didn't happen. So the same thing is happening with Nick Fuentes. He is being rejected. He is being denied even an engagement with his ideas. And that tells me that he is touching on an issue that is sensitive to who funds you, Tucker.
...that runs Washington. I mean, it's all a bit much.
So you have here the same story repeats itself, and the same character is still there with similar arguments, with similar words. I mean, the way he switches from compliment to discredit. Compliment, oh, very important questions, Pat Buchanan. Oh, extreme talent, Nick Fuentes. But it's discredited. What does this even mean, discredited? Is it debunked? Is what he says false? No, discredited. What comes out of his mouth just tends to be something we should not talk about. We don't even have the beginning of a claim that Nick Fuentes is wrong here. And yet it is being sold. The hope of people like Tucker is that people aren't intelligent enough to tell what he's doing here. But what you're doing when you use words like discredit, you disengage from the actual intellectual debate. When you use words like discredit, you're in the domain of reputation. And no one gives a shit about reputation. We've shown it again and again. We don't care about reputation. Because reputation is exactly how you establish these dark networks of Jewish politicians and political-centric sides that are controlling the game of what we talk about. Borup says, this is just fluffed up lefty talk. Nazis shouldn't be platformed, essentially. It is. It is part of leftist denial. Absolutely. We have learned that the U.S. Supreme Court is considering outlawing race-based Voting Rights Act congressional districts. There is currently a war across America. And these race-based districts are basically being operated as follows. Well, it's like whenever if you make a race-based district that is for preserving the voting power of blacks, inevitably you are punishing some whites in the process. Inevitably you've gathered people artificially in a district that you've drawn based on considerations of race. And it's been happening across the country that people even explicitly will say, we are voting for these new district lines to preserve and emphasize voting power for black people. And it's possible that it will get denied by the U.S. Supreme Court going forward. Because, of course, the whole way they use the argument and the whole way it's written, it really only allows you to do this to advantage blacks. If you were to do this to the contrary, if you were to say, hey, we want to highlight in this state the voting power of white people. No, that doesn't work. So in the end, it ends up being a racist use of the Voting Rights Act. And people argue that it is not even allowed as the Voting Rights Act is written. So basically, what this could mean is less Democrat shenanigans around creating these artificial districts that are truly meant to give a House representative to black people. It's like, it's really the intent. They cut it out. They decide, all right, we're not going to get this neighborhood. We're going to get just this neighborhood because we know there's more black people there. And they inflate black power in America in a way that should be illegal. John Drake says, this is massive. If the Supremes do this, it will destroy the Dems. There's lots happening around voting rights because for the last 40 years, I would say that there has been a mainstream left progression on voting rights that has allowed them to gain way too much power. And it goes that way. It goes on the story of, well, you know, we've been demanding so much for voting, like driver's license, that black people, they don't have a driver's license. They can't show their driver's license. And so in a way, by demanding all these things and making all these hoops, to make voting possible, we have effectively denied black people the right to vote for 40 years. And the left has convinced itself of this narrative, and they have convinced themselves, therefore, that they had to open the standards so much that we don't even know who's voting anymore in these leftist states. And on top of it, the whole redistricting strategy is abused to the maximum, to the point where Chicago, for example, is completely dominated by black power. Even from a democratic perspective, it doesn't make sense. Because I think they are 50 to 60% of the population, they were saying, and they have 80% of the seats are ultimately controlled by black voters. So this is a complete overdue of what the left has been pumping themselves into their own systems of belief for decades. And it's time to put a stop to it, or else it's over for the non-left in America. John Drake says, yes, they set up so-called minority-majority districts. They water down the right vote. The right white vote. Absolutely scandalous. We have the same fight happening in Texas, where, well, at least in Texas, it's controlled by the Republicans. But the Republicans are precisely trying to draw the districts in a way that will guarantee some chance for the right going forward, some chance for the Republican. And the Democrats have fled. And interestingly, they have fled to Chicago, the place in America where the strategy of the left has been pushed so hard that it now advantages blacks beyond their own population representation, showing what is the end game of the Democrats in the end. The end game of the Democrats is power even without representation, even beyond the current replacement rates of whites. So Greg Abbott has said that he is ordering these Democrats, because the reason they flee is with the hope that there will be a quorum declaration and it will be declared that there are not enough politicians in Texas to pass these new laws. So they want to try to do a technical ruling that's to their advantage. But I don't know that it will work in Texas. We've seen this before. This is a news cycle. We've seen it maybe two times in my life as a host. I've covered this kind of fleeing. But now Greg Abbott is saying that he will sue them, he will prosecute them, he will imprison them, and he will find them guilty of treason. Can you imagine the Texas police having to go to Chicago in an apartment and kidnap these lawmakers because they don't want to occupy their seats, bring them back to Texas, have them found guilty of treason? And Greg Abbott is also saying that he could declare them, their seat could be declared vacant, and they could be replaced. I don't know what's the shortest solution, but it's going to be interesting to see if if the Republicans succeed. Cowardice and dereliction of duty. Texas governor orders arrest of fleeing Democratic lawmakers. They abandon their duty to Texans. They should face the full force of the law without apology. Absolutely. Dominic Michael Trippi says, Trump administration announces they will not provide federal aid or natural disaster assistance to states or cities that boycott Israel. This is another sign that we are in an absolutely occupied state. What is the relevance between you have some natural disaster happening to you and whether you boycott Israel or not? It should be a free country, but the federal government constantly used its power to extort positioning by states by cities. And the way this extortion is used is always in the direction of the Jews. It's, I don't see Trump using these levers for white people. That's what's so sad about it. You know, if I could look at Trump and say, oh, you know what? He's a New Yorker. He loves Jews. Okay, let's give them this. Let's give them this lever. But I would love to also be able to say Trump is also using these levers when he can for white people. I don't see it. We have a standoff in Los Angeles at a Costco parking. The guy was apparently, I don't know, they say standoff. Did he have a gun? But anyways, on his van, it was written, toxicology, test my corpse and this van. Well, I think that makes it very clear that he was on drugs. TikTok hires a proud American Jew to tackle anti-Semitism on the platform. The new appointee for hate speech manager of TikTok is Erica Mendel, a IDF soldier, Israeli IDF soldier. Again, why? Why give so much control to the Jews? Darko Malfoy says, you know, if they want a hate speech policy, okay, let them do it. Let someone who has a neutrality and an objectivity to their approach deal with it. That way you're going to remove all the emotionality of it. You're going to remove all this this greedy self-defense of Jews. You're going to have, at the end, a much more fair process if some Chinese guy who's uninterested in the question judges whether the policy has been violated. We know what happens when you put these Jews in power. What happens is down to what happened to Twitter, which was really threatened to not be a public space for discourse anymore, because some homosexual Jew was in control of who gets banned. That was a very bad idea. There's a glitch in the Matrix, says Jake, because of the Epstein-Barr virus. Yeah, that is weird. Because there's an Epstein-Barr virus that's been named that way for a long time. I don't know how long, maybe many decades. There's an Epstein-Barr virus. And then Jeff Epstein has been given his position as a mathematics professor with young people back in the days by the father of William Barr. So how is it that there are two Epsteins and two Barrs in the world and that they both ended up collaborating at some point? Epstein-Barr as scientist discovering the Epstein-Barr virus, and Epstein-Barr as Jeff Epstein getting a job as a mathematics professor. Maybe it's random. Maybe it's a sign that the Matrix is broke. This is creepy. This fucking guy, Jim Acosta, is making AI interviews with a reconstituted young man who lost his life in a shooting so that he can get the young man to speak for gun control.
I would like to know what your solution would be for gun violence.
Great question. I believe in a mix of stronger gun control laws, mental health support, and community engagement. We need to create safe spaces for conversations and connections, making sure everyone feels seen and heard. It's about building a culture of kindness and understanding. What do you think about that?
I think that's a great idea, Joaquin. I would like to know what your solution.
This is cringe. Painful. It's like, it's barely a reenactment of the human being. It's more like a spouting JPEG of him, just spouting leftist talking points that they wanted to hear. And in that way, you know, AI is this mirror very much. It's reflecting back to you what you want to see in it. And here the leftist, you know, they're going to get their money's worth because they're going to be able to fantasize that those are regular talking points. And you really, would you even be able to find a man willing to defend these talking points of the modern left? Well, they had one. They had this guy from the Parkland shooting. And eventually they just started hating on him because he was a white guy. British mom sexually violated by parasailing operator while mid-air in Tunisia. See, you go to do some parasailing, but you had forgotten your rape whistle. You had forgotten that you can get raped in the air in Tunisia. The rape behavior has been extended into the three dimensions. You have to think in three-dimensional rape. Marty, think in three dimension. George Santos pens a dramatic prison letter detailing mildew and bathroom horrors. So he's crying and he's like... I didn't care who saw that reflection in that moment made the weight of my decisions, my mistakes, and the road that led me there all too real. State-issued polyester, seeing himself in a yellow suit as if he was some danger warning sign, it made him depressed. So George Santos, I don't know what to think about this guy because he's a Republican in New York. He's gay. I know what to think about this guy. I mean, thinking about it, I don't give a shit about this guy. He fell for... If you're gay, for the gay Republicans out there, if you're gay, you fell for the most... deranged psyop of the anti-natalist psyop of the left, and you're down to the point where your entire life has been determined by a vision of yourself that ultimately comes from an anti-natalist place. If you fell for that, I don't think you can be a real Republican. You can deceive yourself thinking. And George Santos, when I saw his performance on Tucker, I kind of have some pity for him because there he is saying, you know, there was increased scrutiny over me. That's an injustice. And I tend to agree. Maybe he was targeted unjustly because he had friends perhaps that were like like the Florida, like Marjorie Taylor Greene or like Matt Gaetz. Maybe he was too friendly with this wing and he ended up being targeted. But in the end, he got caught because he spent some money of his campaign on personal surgery. And so basically it's a misuse of campaign funds thing that he would use to enrich himself a little too much. But it seems that the items were kind of minimal. It wasn't like a massive scam in the multi-millions of dollars, but it was more like misuse of campaign funds. Now, it seems to me that a lot of campaign funds have been misused historically, and it's very rare that we see a man going to jail for so long, for years, for this kind of thing. Very often you see the politician says, "Oh, I admit that I did it. I'm sorry. I just didn't know that we were doing this. I would like to correct the error." And they reimburse the funds. They reimburse the funds, and that is all their punishment. But for some reason, George Santos was pursued and prosecuted, perhaps because he's in New York, perhaps because there are hostile forces against him. But at the same time, he doesn't strike me as a very good politician or good thinker. He was kind of childish on Tucker Carlson, and he was showing that to him, his experience in Congress was all a matter of friendships and relationships. Just like the, you would think the gay mind sees the world. It was like, oh, she says this, and then I said that, and then I said this, and he said that, and I thought he was my friend, but it turns out he was not my friend. All of this is extremely low-level, high school-level social understanding of the world. So in the end, I don't know that I like George Santos. He did a sympathetic interview on Tucker, but now he's in jail and he's gay. So what will happen? He's going to come out of jail old, with his anus ripped off. Will his boyfriend still want anything to do with him? I don't know. Did you know that there's corn liquor in your gas tank because of the riots at the 1968 Democratic National Convention in Chicago? The modern preeminence of the Iowa caucuses came from the aftermath and led to the disasters we have today. This is how history is really made. So apparently the Iowa, you know, they had one obsession. It was, we have to find something to do with our corn. And they said, what if we were to convince politicians to force all of the gasoline in the US, or almost all of it, to contain a certain percentage of ethanol, which we would farm from the alcohol fermentation of corn. And it's like, problem being, it's actually contested whether it has any function in gasoline. Apparently it makes gasoline less efficient. And so it's like, it's not even clear why we're doing this. The ethanol energy content is lower than gasoline, so whatever amount you dilute reduces the performance of the liquid per milliliter. And so we're really doing this because down the line, there was a massive argument. The party was internally divided over Vietnam and all this stuff. And there were basically two clans, and it turned out that one state, Iowa, was enough to balance the decision one way or another. But they said, we're going to resolve this conflict only with the side that accepts to force corn juice into all gasoline in the US. And so they basically negotiated themselves an economic positioning by force by resolving the conflicts that was over various things as it related to the Vietnam War and the division of the Democrat Party from inside. So as a result, we are all gassing our cars with corn, fermented corn, basically alcohol, ethanol. Rodilacid says, how about make sugar with the corn and then flood the market and push producers to use our sugar? Well, I think it's pretty much what has been done. You have corn syrup, which has become basically a glucose, fructose equivalent that has, across the years, replaced the use of sugar in industrial processes. You have the Tostitos, the tacos. I mean, this is all... let's pack corn into the economy. And a lot of the people who are commenting on food and healthy habits, they hate corn. I understand that if you're talking about eating tacos every day or Tostitos, or if you're talking about eating stuff every day that contains corn syrup, I understand the hate for corn. But I don't eat that much of processed stuff. So to me, I'm not hateful of corn. You know, a corn cob is okay. You know, it reminds me of Alex Jones. What was Alex Jones saying? Your neighbor wants to eat your ass like corn on the cob. Oh God, that was good. That was good. Good performance by Alex Jones. Is the home market going down? We had a recession of the home prices, difficulty to sell. Home sellers are getting scared, rush for the entrance, rush for the exits. Homes are going back on the market in droves. I'm seriously scared by the amount of homes going pending and within 5 days to a month going back on the market. I've never seen anything like this. As someone who is selling right now, I'm terrified to even sell to someone pre-approved because are they really pre-approved? What in the heck is going on? I know things like inspections they can pull out, but this seems like more than inspections. I think we may have an effect of the instability of the migrant families caused by uncertainty around Trump, ICE, deportations. I mean, if you really deport a million people, that's a million homes where they used to live that is suddenly available. And even if they were living in a group in a single apartment, that's a place that has been freed. And so it's possible that there will be a massive reduction. I would love if there was a massive reduction in the demand for a real estate because, well, it wouldn't be in my personal interest because I own homes and, you know, if they drop in price, it's not in my interest at all. But still, it would be healthy for the nation to have lower prices. Healthy for the young people rising into the market so that they are capable of buying a home. Because if you're trying to buy a home and you're competing with a million Indians, one of the Indians is going to have more money than you. So it's like we always get the grass cut under our feet by immigration. Rockin' Robin Hood says, we'll sell if price is right. Yeah, but it seems that if what is currently happening, if it keeps going more than right now, we might be to a point where you have difficulty selling homes and you have to drop the price a lot. John Drake says, oh yeah, the underground economy is massive. Getting the illegals out will have consequences. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, wouldn't it be beautiful if we had solved the problem of home ownership for the next generation of couples being able now to afford homes? That would be beautiful. Of course, it would mean that Gen X and the boomers' houses would lose their value. But in a way, I kind of want it because I don't really care about the theoretical value of homes. I think homes are a functional part of a country. You know, they are the place where people build their asset valuation and where they have something to fall back on, because I can't picture myself as a father of many children. Can't picture myself in the apartment living, renting market anymore. It would scare me as hell to have children that I carry and to be jumping from year to year into whatever apartment I can pay for and seeing the prices rise and becoming more and more incapable of paying. John Drake says, BTC is helping home ownership becoming viable again. That's true. That's true. I don't think that without BTC, I don't think my life would be as comfortable as it is. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being here with me. And that is all I had to say for tonight. Baroop says, me right now, me and my son in an apartment. Oh, well, that's really too bad. And I understand that you may not be able to afford a home, but man, that's really too bad. Because you are really just waiting for your children to grow to 18 so that you can get rid of the problem and they can go on with their own lives. but it doesn't get you started very well in life if you don't have a stable place for which you're not paying. Barub sends $20. Well, thank you so much. He seems to have enough loose to still fund the show. Thank you very much for this donation. That is it for tonight, boys. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.